waiting for is here.
Previously on the Woody and Wilcox Show.
We were talking about the story that maybe you saw that was floating around. A dude who plays in the NFL had gotten furious at the TSA, and it became a Twitter war with the TSA that they were participating in as well, where he claimed that they spilled his mom's cremated ashes in his suitcase when they did a secondary check when he was flying out of LAX to New York or something the other day. They now, by the way, claim they didn't do it. And that was new as of yesterday, because initially they apologized. But I was curious because I know a lot of people, sadly, are going to have to go through this. I haven't had to go through that process. None of us on the show had. But there are specific TSA guidelines. So it is, there is a right way to do it, apparently, and a wrong way.
Right.
But what it led to for me was, what are the regulations? How does that work typically? Lauren has something for us, and then I'll share with you what I've seen as the official TSA guidelines, which I thought were interesting. Hey, Lauren.
Hi.
So what's your story that you have to share?
I actually had to transport via plane my father's ashes from North Carolina to California.
Okay.
And we actually had the forethought to talk to our crematorium about it. And they said, oh, if you're flying with it, we'll specially package it. It was a cardboard box with a plastic bag inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we'll give you a certificate. You just keep this with it and keep it in your checked luggage, we recommend. Or not your checked, your carry-on.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have any questions, here's the certificate. It's a declaration of the contents of the box. And I had zero issues flying with it. None at all. They didn't even ask to see the certificate.
That sort of echoes what Anonymous Becky on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page says. I work in a funeral home. Our cremains come in a plastic bag, and most people get a plastic temporary urn if they aren't going to display it. If they don't get that plastic urn, then the plastic bag is labeled and put into a cardboard box. My point is, it can still be inspected easily by the TSA. If it was a decorative urn, the funeral home would have sealed it so it could not spill. And yep, it wouldn't have spilled.
But they do say you shouldn't travel with a metal urn that's sealed, because what'll happen most likely is the TSA, by the way, under rules and guidelines, will not open it, they say, but they won't let you fly with it.
Correct.
Because they can't x-ray it, and they can't take the contents out, so they just say, well, it's going to have to, it can't fly. So what you did, Lauren, obviously makes the most sense. And that's what I would have thought would always be the method. And it sounds like this guy, AJ Francis, didn't go that route. It wasn't marked the way yours was.
But then why did it spill? How did it spill?
Well, I don't know. If it wasn't marked and they didn't know what it was,
then they cracked
they
it
could
open
it. But they say they didn't. But, well, you
but
know,
the TSA
knows?
Lies.
All right. Would you stop it with that, for crying out loud? Lauren, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
844-4WW-SHOW is the way that you can get through. There is a policy. It's against TSA policy and illegal for airport employees to open an ash container to determine its contents. Again, therefore, it cannot be x-rayed, and it won't be allowed on the plane.
I think Jeff,
if it's not in the proper packaging. Along those lines, but slightly different, is the guy that we've got on the phone right now.
Jim, what's your story? You're on with Woody and Wilcox.
Well, I was in college. It's been about 15 years now. Usually in the summer, I had a connection down to, I guess I could say, the park, the biggest theme park in Orlando, Florida. I can say the name, right?
You can say the name.
Yes.
I worked at Disney World at the Magic Kingdom, and the last couple of years I got put on the Haunted Mansion ride, and I kid you not, about maybe two or three times a week we catch somebody spreading a small amount of ashes on the ride. It got to the point where we actually had to employ security and cameras where people would watch, just specifically looking for people dropping. We're not talking about a big urn, just a little plastic bag or a tiny vial, and they just think they were getting away with it and dropping on there. You get kicked out of the park for doing it, too.
What I'm curious about is, you're saying, at least from your experience, that it was specifically the Haunted Mansion where people wanted to do it. Do you think they were doing it a little bit on every ride?
I don't think they were doing it on every ride. It's specifically the Haunted Mansion. And from some friends of mine who work out in Anaheim, there's another version of the ride out there, too, and apparently the same thing happens to this day. It's something that they'll kick you out of the park for. Don't know what it is. People love the mouse that much.
They just, but
that's what I see. I mean, people do love the mouse. You're right, because I was in Disneyland last week, as a matter of fact. And I mean, I know the rabid Disney fans are, I mean, they're everywhere. But
we
I would have thought you would have seen
them Disney files.
Disney files. I mean, I would have thought, I get the Haunted Mansion part, but I would have thought they were doing it on all sorts of rides, right? You know, Grandma really loved the Pirates of the Caribbean or whatever.
Or just along Main Street, right? Just in the park itself.
Right. Any number of places.
There are other things that happen on other rides that I won't mention, but they've got night cameras on all of them and have for a very long time. And some interesting things happen on the dark rides.
Having been kicked out of Disneyland multiple times, I can concur with what he says.
Right, but you were so low.
Oh, Chelsea.
He was spreading something.
Okay. I wonder, like, if you really hate Grandpa and you go and spread a, you know, some of his ashes and It's a Small World ride for eternity. Just that song.
Luckily, I never had to work that ride.
Right. Yeah. You'd be locked up, like in some kind of asylum, probably.
Or worse, listening to the Woody and Wilcox show.
Oh, God.
The following program is for entertainment purposes only.
Really? That's amazing.
It's the Woody and Wilcox show.
They simply couldn't imagine being without each other.
With Woody.
Ah, what the hell is the matter with you?
And Wilcox.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is insanity!
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is like, you know, when you're getting your legs waxed and they whip that thing off real fast. That's what this is like.
And now, it's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I've been through this a million times in all my years in the theater. Take a deep breath. Good. Blow it out. Let's just do a good show, okay? Everybody do a good show.
You know, it's funny. We were off for a week plus, and so we came back live on Tuesday of this week, and, you know, kind of excited because it had been a while, and then you look and you go, hey, it's only a four-day week. That's the way they should be every week, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know who we talked to about that. And so Tuesday and Wednesday, man, it felt good, right? I was fired up. I'm sure you guys kind of felt similarly.
And then now that it's
now today, I just feel like
that was fun. Let's
when's the next vacation?
Right.
Somehow, all of a sudden, the week just came to a grinding halt this morning. I don't know what happened, but I guess 2 days is about where I feel like I'm in the what's the thing that I'm in?
See,
I
can't have a groove.
Either of those, groove or a zone. Yeah. So it's, yeah, it's a marathon. It's not easy.
You know,
not everybody can do a 3-day work week, and we got to do a four.
You know what? What we do is pretty easy.
What?
And we're not that good at it.
What?
There are others, and they listen to this show, who do real work. Hold on to your ass for this.
Okay.
8 hours a day.
Well, I will say this. I was a little bit down until I realized what today is. Now, a couple of things to celebrate today, and one of them I'll save for the chat so that you can go ahead and look forward to that and then spend that effort to take a day off today for it. But there's a couple of important notes about today. Do you realize what today is?
I think I know one of them. I know that today is Richard Simmons' birthday.
That is one of them, and I was going to save that one for later.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
But no, that's okay, because it's worthy of a lot of mentions. I mean, it's a big deal, but that's not the one. That's not the overriding one. Believe it or not, there's something bigger than that.
And bigger today than Richard is Simmons? Day. And I don't know how old is Richard Simmons. Do you know?
I don't have that in front of me. Cool beans? How old is Richard Simmons? No, July the 12th has a much more important meaning, I feel like, especially for specifically the Woody and Wilcox show. Today is something known as the Handyversary. Anybody? I'll say it again, the Handyversary. See, what I've done there is I've taken anniversary, replaced the aniv with a handy. It's not the first time I've said that, by the way. What's the look on Cool Bean's face?
She's shaking
now.
Her head. She's got a shoe off. She may be throwing it. I'm not positive.
Today's the day that Cool Beans was touched on the hand by Justin Timberlake.
Wow.
Cool Beans, 4 years?
Yes.
2014. I actually had it on my calendar. I'm not kidding. You can, you know, you can set it up in your calendar, yeah, and then every year it'll show up.
Yep.
So I had that on there, and then I just happened to, as I was going through social media late last night, I noticed that Cool Beans in some tweet, and I couldn't find it this morning, had actually referenced that, you know, yesterday she had tweeted, tomorrow is my handyversary. Now, I forget specifically, Cool Beans, why handy? Did he, because he, his hand touched you, or because I thought he touched your face or something.
He grabbed her hand.
Oh, he grabbed your hand.
There was some kind of tension. It wasn't just a finger touch.
And remember the discussion, and we can get into this with, because it's easier to have a conversation when both of you are on the radio, but we'll get into it later. But if I recall right, Woody hypothesized that Justin Timberlake, this was at a concert, and Cool Beans was, you know, front couple of rows. Justin Timberlake may have thought Cool Beans was, as we like to say, special.
That's correct.
We're not sure. And that's great. I think Justin Timberlake is, from all accounts, a great guy. And not just a great performer, and hilarious, by the way, too, on top of it. But we thought that maybe he felt there was something unique about Cool Beans.
Well, there is.
And part of that had to do with the fact that she was wearing a tiara, I think. Wasn't that part of the,
yes,
part of the scenario?
Yes.
Not that everybody wearing a tiara has anything wrong with them or has a special talent. But for some reason, I remember that was part of the discussion 4 years ago today. I guess 4 years ago tomorrow, to be specific. So
today, she says.
Oh, was it after midnight? Because we would have had the discussion the next day on the radio. Yeah. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
Okay, so yes.
Thank you. Don't get me. Look, Chelsea, I know you're good with the calendar on a lot of things, but when it comes to Cool Beans' handyversary.
Hold on.
You're talking to a pro over here.
I'm trying to translate, you know, gestures through a window over here. She's communicating with me, and that's what she's telling me. So back
only,
it down.
If only we had 2 mics. But you know what?
You know what? This adds a little bit to the tension, to
does
the
it?
Excitement, right?
Does it?
It's building. I can feel it welling up within me. So, yeah. So if you want to use either of those, as we've mentioned, as an excuse to go ahead and call out today, maybe you're not going to make it in. I'm sure that the foreman on the job site would be fairly sympathetic to the fact that either you're celebrating Richard Simmons' birthday or you're celebrating Cool Beans from the Woody and Wilcox Show.
Johnson, why did you show up in a bedazzled tank top?
Sir, it's Richard Simmons' birthday.
I thought it was Cool Beans' handyversary. Well, it's that too as well, sir. All right, go ahead and take a day off. So we'll get to a lot of things today, including maybe a two-sided conversation with Cool Beans, just to see how it affects her, you know, today. Is it the same as it was 4 years ago? We'll also dig into the weird stuff on Craigslist today. That's on the docket. Craigslist Price is Right coming up here in a little bit. We'll share some interesting and, I think, cautionary tales when it comes to it happening in Florida. We've got that on the way. Did you see the latest in a now string of events that have happened to one of these big-time public figures who at one time was riding at the top? This guy was at the top of his game, was at the top of the world, and now continually, week by week, is being chopped down notch by notch. And the latest just came out yesterday on this guy. I don't know if you saw this or know what I'm talking about.
No.
He's now lost his job, and you all know who he is. And this is not the first in a string of episodes that have just sending this guy down the drain, apparently. I'll share that with you. And it's not going to be easy to get through today, but I don't know if you saw that Stormy Daniels was arrested yesterday. So it's tough. We're all going to get through this. If you missed that information, believe me, I've got that for you. We'll dig in as part of a chat coming up next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
And now, it's time for The Chat Report. Stuff happening around the globe.
The G is silent. Beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep. On The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So, you see the latest on Papa John, who continues to spiral down the drain? Remember they had said that they were no gonna, longer going to sponsor the NFL, something about people weren't watching anymore, and so they dropped that.
That's a lie.
And then yesterday he resigned as CEO. No longer will John Schnatter, I believe that's how you pronounce it, be the CEO of Papa John's Pizza.
I saw
the iconic Papa John that we saw in all the commercials with his car and his Peyton Manning and all that.
And overall, just a weird dude to begin with.
I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know anything about the guy.
My mom had a crush on him.
Your mom had a crush on Papa John. Was that? Oh. I mean, what do we? Why?
I guess she just liked the pizza. I like the way he looks.
How did she feel about the world's most interesting man? Is there other commercial people, the Travelocity gnome do it for her?
The Colonel Sanders fan, was she back in the day?
Once she said that, I was like, okay, Mom, I'll be on my way now.
Mom had a crush on Papa John.
Yeah. Oh. But wasn't there like something in the middle of that whatever controversy that they were the official pizza of white supremacists?
Yes.
That had come out. I don't know that there was any truth to that. Of course, everything gets politicized these days, so you can't bring up anything without somebody taking sides that way. He admitted to using racial slurs during a conference call. Apparently, he was dropping the N-word on a conference call. So, he decided that he probably should take a couple of plays off, as Ron Burgundy would say.
He's doing that on a conference call. It's not his first time. You know what I mean?
What do you think? He's like, I'm going to try out some new material.
And what, somebody just finally called him out on it?
Apparently, it was a situation, and as he said later, there it doesn't matter what the scenario was, and I think he's probably right about that. He said he was asked on the conference call how he would distance himself from what you were talking about, Chelsea, racist groups, because of the backlash he faced last year after saying the NFL was, you know, blah, 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 kneeling protests, etc. And then he said, as part of that, well, I think the indication was, I don't know why I'm facing such an outcry. And then he referenced Colonel Sanders and said, Colonel Sanders called people the N-word, except he, you know, used the N-word. And I don't know if there was more to it than that, if it went on from there, or if it was just a one-and-done statement. But there were some other things, apparently, about race that he went on to discuss. And apparently didn't go over well. So he's gone ahead and he's going to...
Showing himself out.
Your mom, I know, is going to be upset, Chels, but
call her.
Move on, yeah.
Harlan Sanders was born in 1890, and I think the...
Times were different, you're saying?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. Whatever the case may be, it's been an interesting 12 months for Papa John. Secondarily, and you know I love this, I love all things that have to do with how much money people make. I'm always fascinated by it. Whenever the Parade magazine comes out with, you know, what individuals and celebrities make, I'm glued to that thing until I read the whole deal. Forbes just came out with what they're calling the richest self-made women. When you think of that, who do you think of?
Oprah, every time.
Every time. By the way, she's number six on the list. And do you know what Oprah is worth?
$10 billion.
You're a little high. $3.1 billion.
That's it. Stop giving away cars.
That's it. $3.1 billion. You're right, Chelsea. How has she squandered it all?
That's right.
I feel
stop
like
giving away cars.
I'm being a little bit.
So in this case, self-made woman, they're talking about people who theoretically
started
came from, you know, nothing. They were the first in their family to somehow make their way to riches. And obviously Oprah, you're right, born in, you know, rural Mississippi and had so many obstacles on in her life, including, you know, being raised by a grandmother and getting pregnant at 14 and all that.
Yeah.
So you're right. She would be the first person you'd think of at $3.1 billion. She's sixth on the list. And I will say these aren't all celebrities. So that's part of the reason why you wouldn't necessarily know some of these people. I think she was probably the highest ranked
known
celebrity, people that most folks would know. However, it was interesting, before I get to who's number one on the list, they do throw in a bunch of celebrities here and there. And I just want to see if you guys can determine for example, between, let's say, Beyonce and Judge Judy, who's worth more money? And they're both on the list, by the way.
Judge Judy.
We talk about how much she makes.
Yeah.
Judge Judy, $400 million. She is 48th on the list. Beyonce, 355. So, yes, you are right. Judge Judy higher. Beyonce's 53rd on the list.
Wow.
Kylie Jenner or Madonna?
Kylie.
Well,
and by the way, Kylie Jenner is on the list. Side note, who I don't understand how they can defend that.
But you said self-made.
Right.
And she's part of a family that I don't understand. Maybe they just did that just so they could start controversy.
She couldn't self-make a corn dog.
Well, you know what? She's the second highest celebrity on the list.
Shut up.
$900 million.
What does she do?
More than twice Judge Judy.
She has her own company.
Twice Madonna. And by the way, she could become the youngest millionaire in history.
Billionaire, you mean? Since she's already a millionaire.
Billionaire, beating out Mark Zuckerberg. She'll be 21 this year. Let that roll around. Now, I don't know how they come off calling her self-made. You're right. That's ridiculous. But we can try and move beyond that. And imagine that she could be the fastest to $1 billion. Faster than the guy who created Facebook.
That's not her fault, necessarily.
No.
We're the ones who have done that.
Don't you link me
in. I'm saying, humanity.
It's all Woody. It is all Woody. It's mostly all Woody's fault. Crazy, right?
Wow.
Kim Kardashian, $350 million.
Well, she at least did
a sex tape. Kylie Jenner, $900 million.
How mad is Kim? She had to make a sex tape.
What is happening? Now, I do want to share number one with you, because you won't know who it is, but it's a woman who chairs the ABC Supply Company, one of the largest wholesale distributors of roofing, siding, and windows in America. $4.9 billion.
What's her name?
Diane Hendricks. Started the business with her husband 36 years ago and now is worth $4.9 billion. A roofing, siding, and windows supplier. So we hear a lot of stories about celebrities being, you know, rich and famous and drop out of school and play football. Richest, way richer than Oprah. And founded a roofing supply company. So maybe there is hope.
But I feel like
she's worth a little bit more than Kylie Jenner. Now, of course, I'm sure Kylie will catch her.
Right.
I mean, if the world has any sense of fairness. So let that roll around. I'll tweet out the list, by the way. I find this stuff incredibly fascinating. And there's a list of all kinds of women who've done tremendous things, obviously, in things that you've never heard of. Not having to do with sex tapes and makeup and handbags. At Woody and Wilcox, the way you can follow. I'll tweet that out. We do. Oh, and I should. I want to give credit where credit is due, because we did mention that you ought to be taking today off. It is, of course, the great Richard Simmons' birthday. Thanks to our friend for chiming in on the Fez.
Well, good morning, guys. It's I'm actually surprised you're even here today, because this might be the biggest day of them all. Today, we celebrate 70 years of bedazzled tank tops and ample thighs. It is Richard Simmons' birthday.
This is your boy, Richard Simmons. I'm okay, Chelsea. I'm turning 70.
So 70 is the answer, by the way, to your question, because we did raise that question earlier, and I don't know that we heard the answer. So,
this is your boy, Richard Simmons.
Right.
I'm okay, Chelsea.
Thank you. It was good to hear from him, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? It's your boy, George.
Right. No.
Do you really want to hurt me?
Okay, now we've gotten into
that. Do you really want to make me cry?
Nope, we didn't need to get into that whole loop.
What's up there, fellas? It's your boy, Jimmy Stewart.
All right. We don't need to go down the path of all the guys.
Oh, man. This is your boy, George C. Scott.
All right.
We are going to cut out their living guts.
and use it to grease the treads of our tank.
Okay, we're just saying it's Richard Simmons' birthday, so we don't need to hear
from... Hey, what's up? It's your boy Fozzie Bear. Ah, wacka wacka, banana cream pie.
Wait, that's... Hey, what's up?
All right, that's happening. That's plenty, I think, probably in this.
Hey, what's up?
We just heard that one.
Hola, Chelsea.
All right.
Es tu amigo Scott.
All right.
Ay, mami, te quiero mucho.
Yep.
Dos, dos, siete.
It's been a while since we'd celebrated the 227 reference. That's pretty good.
We don't have to do that anymore.
No, we don't. No, so we don't. Thank you for that. Go ahead and take Richard Simmons' 70th birthday off today, for crying out loud. We've got a round of It Happen in Florida coming up next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So with three stories ready to go here, that must mean it's It Happened in Florida time. This is where Woody and I share three different stories, strange things that happened all over the globe, but you need to identify the one that happened in the state of Florida, which consistently cranks out the crazy. And so if you can do that first, you walk away a winner. And if you don't know the number, 844-4WW-SHOW is the way that you can get through. That's 844-4WW-SHOW. Woody will start us off with story number one.
We're fresh back from vacation. Did you guys bring back any souvenirs with you, Wilcox? I bring it up because a woman in story number one was on vacation and brought back a souvenir that she found while hiking and ended up costing her a lot of money. The 24-year-old found what she thought was a dud artillery shell while hiking and thought, you know what? Awesome. This will be a sweet memento that I can bring back with me and talk to my friends about. Like, look at that. It's an old artillery shell I found while when I was on vacation.
Right.
She took it back to her hotel room and washed it in the sink so it wouldn't get her clothes dirty, then put it into her carry-on luggage. And at the airport, they're like, what's this? And she's like, it's a souvenir I found while I'm hiking. I think it's an artillery shell. And that's when they called the bomb squad and shut down the airport. The 24-year-old woman was cited for negligent endangerment and fined over $4,600. Was it in Florida where she's like, you know what? Sure, it's an artillery shell, but I'm going to make sure I wash it first, not actually check with a bomb squad to see if it's inert or anything like that. I don't want it to get my clothes dirty and my carry-on luggage.
A souvenir from a trip is a spoon or perhaps a snow globe.
Or a dick mug.
I'm sorry?
A dick mug.
Oh, a dick mug.
Yes.
Yes, a mug that has the name dick on it. Yes. I do collect those. Sadly, I only have two. But you're right. Rarely does something that explodes fall into the fun souvenir category.
Right.
Now, story number two, I have to thank everybody who, I mean everybody, because there's been a ton of people sending in this story. And I'm actually going to tweet this out here in a second. So if you're not following at Woody and Wilcox on Twitter, you're going to want to do that. The headline reads, man with no arms stabs tourist. Anybody want to take a guess at how that's even possible? Chelsea, I'll go to you first.
With his feet, because generally I've seen that you've got no arms, your feet get really good.
I don't know. Well, yes, I'm going to accept that. That's correct.
How did you come up with that so quickly? Because I was thinking that the dude was holding the knife in his mouth.
I guess because I've seen videos of people with no arms, and they're very adept with their toes.
I will say, as the police report states, the 46-year-old man, and wait until you see his mugshot and tell me if you would have guessed 46, held a pair of scissors in his feet and stabbed a passerby in this particular town. Please. The man apparently is a well-known street artist who uses his feet, as Chelsea referenced, to paint. Quite a skill. But then... apparently, those same feet can be used for nefarious purposes as well. And now everybody can stop sending me the story. I appreciate it. When you see a story like that, you think of us. But we'll move on once you tell me whether this actually happened in the Sunshine State or not. Woody has the third and final.
Third and final story has to do with those escape rooms that people go to. Have you seen these before, where maybe you get together with a group of friends and they lock you inside a room for an hour, and inside there's clues and things that you need to do to try and escape the room. Seems like a fun idea. A dude broke into one in story number three. As a matter of fact, two local business owners received an early morning call from law enforcement after a burglar broke into their escape room and couldn't find his way out. So it helps when you've got friends to help you solve those clues to open the doors. What happened was he broke in and damaged the escape room and couldn't get out no matter what he did. So he had to use his own cell phone to call 911 and be like, yeah, I broke into an escape room and now I can't get out. Can somebody please come get me?
Why would you break into an escape room?
Obviously, there are billions of dollars in those escape rooms, Chelsea. They don't know exactly why he did it. However, they believe drugs and or alcohol may have played a factor in this one. Was it in Florida where he called 911 on himself because he couldn't get out of an escape room? Tanner's up first to try and solve our quiz. Tanner, all three stories actually happened. Which one went down in Florida?
I'm going to have to go with story number three.
Story number three! No, not even in this country. Vancouver is where two local business owners got a call from cops saying, hey, somebody broke into your escape room and they can't get out.
Do you see this statement? We can get into this in a second. The story about the guys who called police on themselves also after they had boarded a train illegally.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was going too fast.
And they couldn't get off.
I've got the 911 audio on that, by the way. We can get into that in a second.
Amber, 50-50 shot for you. What do you think?
Number two.
She's either going to poop or she's correct.
Maybe both. Yes, it was Florida, where the man with no arms stabbed somebody. And I think the headline was what really caught most people who ended up sending this story into us. Apparently, the guy claims that it was self-defense. He was out there, I think, on a boardwalk or something. Miami Beach, I believe, is where it went down. And says that some dude passing by tried to rough him up, and so he stabbed him with scissors that he was holding in his feet. I am going to tweet this out, if only because I'm interested in seeing if you believe that this man is 46 years old.
And a 24-year-old American tourist at the Vienna airport in Austria caused that entire airport to be shut down after she found an old World War II artillery shell, decided to keep it as a souvenir, but first washed it off in her hotel room sink and then put it on her carry-on luggage. $4,694 for negligent endangerment.
By the way, not only is today Richard Simmons' 70th birthday and Cool Beans' handyversary, if you missed that, we can fill you in on that, but Cool Beans also just alerted me to something else very special that's happening today. Oh. I want to share that with you coming up next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So we mentioned it a second ago, before we get into the fact that we've got a round of Craigslist Prices Right coming up here. It's a big day today because today is the 4-year anniversary of the day that Cool Beans had her hand touched at a concert by Justin Timberlake. And so a little later on, we're going to really dive in. We're going to find out how Cool Beans is, you know, how it's affected her 4 years later. We'll go over the scenario again about how he physically came into contact with her. And then Cool Beans reminded me that today is not only that anniversary, but a special day. Today's the day where, what is it, Cool Beans? You pay your weight at Build-A-Bear?
I don't think it's pay your weight.
You pay your age.
Oh, you pay your age.
But you have to be
Some
kind of bonus member. Your weight. Somebody's paying $260 for like a Darth Vader bear?
I think most of their
first of all, I'm not 260 pounds, Chelsea. Right, you were looking at me.
I don't think she was talking about you. I think, and so you're right, it's pay your age. I didn't even know that was a thing. Cool Beans, do you go out for that? That doesn't seem like a bargain for someone who's maybe more of an advanced age like yourself at Build-A-Bear.
Whoa.
Well, I mean,
I don't know how much they are normally. I think maybe it's a good deal to get one for your kid.
I would think that's the goal. If you're 8, you can build a bear for $8. Is that the indication? And for those who are new, you're like, why are they talking about Build-A-Bear? Cool Beans, who works diligently behind the scenes, has been very upfront with the fact that she has how many Build-A-Bears, Cool Beans?
65.
Estimate with your hands.
She doesn't have enough fingers. It's way more than 10, right, Cool Beans?
Oh, yeah.
Is that 20? 20. Well, we're getting good, Cool Beans.
And Cool Beans has no children, so these are all just, she goes solo as a woman in her, how old, Cool Beans?
How dare you?
That's not even relevant.
Yeah, it's extremely relevant. Anyway, thank you for the information. I'm sure somebody will find that helpful. In the meantime, we are going to dig in and find out what the weird stuff is out there on Craigslist.
You're not going to be paying your age or your weight. You're going to be scoring incredible deals on something that I think everybody needs. especially at the end of your life, and an opportunity for you to help out a fellow human being that turned to Craigslist for something that I'm not quite sure exactly what they were hoping. I believe drugs were involved. We'll dive in, find out what they're willing to pay or what you're going to be paying, and we'll play a little game called Craigslist Price is Right. We'll do that next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Well, the hokey Price is Right music means that it's time to play a round of Craigslist Price is Right. This is where Woody has gathered strange goods and services from Craigslist. And thanks to those of you, by the way, who see weird stuff and send it in. That's always really helpful. Chelsea and I, along with a couple of you on the phone, will try to figure out how much money is being asked for or, in some cases, offered. Just like regular Price is Right, you have to be close but not over the actual price to get the point. And then, obviously, most points you walk away with a win in that particular case. You can get in at 844-4WW-SHOW. Woody had mentioned a second ago that there'll be an item that you can't live without, I think is the way you phrased it. And then something that if you're near the end of your life, you want.
Yeah,
I think is the way you phrased that. So I don't know how many people that applies to, but the more they listen, I would assume the more years are taken off your life, so that's probably going to be handy. Looks like up first to play is contestant number one, Jackie?
Yes.
All right, welcome in, Jackie. And then taking you on is going to be Alex. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's up, guys?
All right, well, you guys know how this works now, so what we'll do is we'll have Woody start out by describing item number one on the Craigslist Price is Right. Woody?
Well, a big tip of the cap and thank you to Justine, who found this on Craigslist and thought, hey, that seems really weird. I'm going to send it to Woody. And when you find something, please do just like Justine did. Email it to me, woody@iHeartMedia. And Justine found a gently used casket.
Gently used casket?
Yes. For sale is my gently used casket. Don't worry, a deceased person has never been inside this casket. I had a bit of an odd phase in high school where I was obsessed with mortuary science. So my parents bought me a casket to sleep in for Christmas when I was 16 years old.
What?
Unfortunately, that was also the year I found out I was claustrophobic. I only slept in the casket for 2 weeks before I just couldn't handle it anymore.
Whoa. Do we know man or woman here?
I'm guessing man, but I mean, it could go either way.
Way to have some
supportive
parents.
I had woman in my head.
Really?
Can you imagine? Think about that for a second, Chelsea. You've got a son. Comes to you and he says he wants you to buy him a casket to sleep in at night. How concerned are you at that point? And is it more concerning? This is an odd sort of, would it be more concerning if it's a female or a male in that case?
It doesn't matter.
What
do you want for Christmas? I'd like a casket to sleep in.
I mean, it might be concerning.
Anyways, my parents are moving and they want it gone from their basement where it has been stored for the last 9 years. It's a high quality piece, but we need it gone, so we're selling it for blank.
There was no mention of what they paid for it initially.
That's
just
correct.
That it's a high quality piece.
Yeah.
Oh.
But they're selling it on the cheap because they need it gone.
I have no idea what caskets cost or what they cost 9 years ago.
They're a lot.
This was a real one or like one of those prop ones.
It's tough to tell, Chelsea, because there is a picture. I'm going to go ahead and show you. It's got the full,
that's
lacy.
An expensive Christmas gift, right?
I would say so. But again, 9 years ago.
$500.
$500 is the bid from Wilcox. Chelsea?
$250.
$250. Gotcha. Jackie, what do you think?
$300.
Sorry, what's that?
$300.
$300. Gotcha. Alex?
$150.
Actual Craigslist price is $150.
Wow.
Nice job, Alex. Woo, nailed that one.
You didn't sleep in a coffin, did you? Take that as a maybe.
Yeah.
All right, so one for Alex, nothing for the rest of us. Item number two, Woody, on the Craigslist price is right?
Thanks to John, who found somebody who's looking to hire on Craigslist. I need a pizza delivered.
Well, they do that.
I only have blank bucks in my PayPal account. I'm looking for a nice soul out there who would like to have this amount because I'm hungry as hell and my mom left and I don't have a way in and out of the house. So maybe if food was delivered here today, you would help me out. I will pay you directly the blank in my PayPal account after proof that the food is on the way. Could be pizza, could be wings, could be fries. Please help out a hungry human. So they only have a very low amount in their PayPal account, and they're going to forward it to you should you buy them a pizza and or wings.
So you have to pay for the food plus your time. Gas delivery.
Well, I think you could deliver it to them. You're not spending any gas.
I'm not sure what's happening.
You still have to physically bring them the food. I mean, you could take a bike, Woody. You're right. But
they do have pizza delivery places where if you just gave them a different address, Chelsea, they'll deliver it there.
Well, he's saying you could call and order a pizza for someone else, yeah. And then the delivery guy would deliver it for
That's
you.
That's what this guy wants.
But why wouldn't he just do that himself? He obviously doesn't have enough money for that.
Correct. And that's why you have to determine how much is left in his PayPal account.
This may be the dumbest thing ever. I know. And that's saying something.
$10.
$10 is the bid from Chelsea. All right. Jackie, what do you think?
$5.
$5. Gotcha. Alex?
$20.
$20. All right.
$1.
$1. Actual Craigslist price, $6 left in his account. Not enough to get a pizza. I will give you the $6 if you order me the pizza. That's Jackie picking up the point right there.
So we've got a barn burner, an all-out Donnybrook. One apiece for Jackie and Alex. So item number 3 will solve this. Whoever gets this walks away with the win. Woody, what do we have on the Craigslist prices right?
It's a 2018 Triton boat that my bitch of an ex-wife left me with.
Oh. 2018 Triton boat.
Yep.
Ex-wife left.
Thanks to Patrick, who found this on Craigslist and emailed it to me, Woody at iHeartMedia. Long story short is how the listing starts. My wife has done ran off with her boyfriend and left me with all the bills. Must sell this boat. It's new. It's a 2018, maybe a 2017. I can't remember. Got a big old Mercury motor that goes fast. Pedal says hot foot, so you know this boat is badass. Your buddies will be jealous as hell, and their wives will want to get with you when you have this boat. The bank is hot after it. Beat them to it, and it's yours. Price to move, so I'm not looking for tire kickers or joyriders. If you want to see her run, stand on the Opossum Ridge boat ramp, and on Tuesday, it'll be the black and silver flash doing about 70 miles an hour.
Wow.
I screen the hell out of my call, so it may take you 3 or 4 times calling me, and I'll get back. The first person with blanks takes this boat. Yes, that's the number the bank done give me. So it's a sad sack story of a man trying to sell his boat before they repossess it.
So, Jackie, you're going to go first on this for the game. How much is he looking for to get rid of this boat?
$10,000.
Gotcha. All right, Alex?
Let's go $9,999.
$9,999. You
think you're doing it wrong.
Right. Actual Craigslist price, $26,839.91.
Wow.
That's the number the bank done give me.
So, Alex, you realize it would have had to have been within a dollar price range for you to win that. Now, it didn't end up mattering because you crushed it. I think you probably wanted to bid a dollar.
Right.
I mean, just future reference. Jackie walks away with the victory on this one.
Yeah.
Congratulations, buddy.
Thanks. Love y'all guys.
Thank
Love
you, man. You. Thank you. Great day to get on Craigslist, too. Get yourself a used casket. Send a pizza to somebody while you watch a dude drive by from the Opossum Ridge boat ramp or whatever the hell that guy was talking about. $26,000. I mean, I guess as boats go, that's not necessarily crazy expensive, right? I mean, that's a lot of dough, though. If you find something odd when you're out there on Craigslist, send it into Woody. Maybe we'll use it next time when we play around a Craigslist Price is Right.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
I know you guys are soccer fans, Wilcox, Chelsea.
Well, I am.
I'm not a soccer fan.
I actually changed my agenda yesterday. I mean, I'm a big basketball fan. And so I will, if I have my way, I'll take a day off or two for March Madness, for example. Sure. Greatest event every year in my mind.
Right.
But I hadn't watched a whole lot of the World Cup, even though I do really enjoy it. It's on sort of at weird times. And yesterday I was driving around and I thought, I'm going to get home quick so that I can catch the end of that Croatia-England game. And I actually did catch the last 4 minutes, maybe. And it was funny because it's that one part of the game that even as a fan drives me crazy, where we don't know how much time is left in a game. And I don't know why soccer continues to do this.
Yep.
But they do, for those that don't ever watch soccer. It's a 90-minute game, theoretically.
That never lasts 90 minutes.
But they don't stop the clock like every other sport that we watch when there's an out-of-bounds or there's a penalty. So then at the end of the game, the ref goes, we're going to add extra time. Stoppage time, I believe they call it.
Yeah.
And it's just a random number. And we're going to play another five. And then you play another five, and maybe it's over at the end of that five, or maybe if somebody got injured, they play, you know, let's do another two. It's just so random, and it even as a fan, that drives me crazy. So I caught some amount of minutes. I don't know how many.
And yesterday we had talked about a woman who had correctly predicted the outcome of all of England's World Cup matches this year by using her breasts and a globe.
That's right. I'd forgotten. We did that a little later in the show. You did that, I should say.
Well, she was wrong yesterday, and a couple of people called the Fez line and actually emailed me to be like, that lady's breasts were wrong, because Croatia won the game and England did not.
It's not a sentence you hear a lot, by the way, either.
But there is a reason, a curse that befell the English team. I want to tell you about this curse. It's a famous person.
Do I have to be a soccer fan to appreciate it?
No.
Okay.
It's a famous person that has a curse whenever they attend a soccer game. I want to tell you about it. You know this famous person. I had no idea there was a curse associated with them when it comes to the world of soccer.
Louis Anderson.
No, it is not Louis Anderson. Okay. The man's name is Mick Jagger. Known as the Mick Jagger curse, I'll tell you why her breasts were wrong and how it was Mick Jagger's fault. We'll do it next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Unashamedly, I am not a soccer fan. I talk about it how, you know, the faking of shin injuries and ties is just not my cup of tea. Although I will admit, I will be tuning in to the World Cup final game, not the third place game that Wilcox keeps telling us about between Belgium and England.
I just am amazed that they do that.
And it was amazing because England sadly ended up losing yesterday, even after the woman in England who has size 40 double E breasts and had correctly predicted the outcome of all of England's World Cup games by spinning a globe. And if the country that England was playing was closer to her breast, then she knew that team would win. But if England was closer, boom,
right,
she knew they were going to win.
It was very scientific.
She predicted an England win yesterday, and they were defeated. There's a reason for that. I'm going to get into it in a second. It was amazing this morning because as the national news on ABC was talking about Croatia and France in the finals, they're like, Croatia, the size of West Virginia and the population of Oregon. And I was like, well, that's fascinating. I have no idea what that means.
Well, they're a small country. It's that what I heard yesterday was like, they and I think they were yelling it, second smallest country ever in the World Cup final. But I don't know.
Because ABC talked about that, too. This is the second smallest country, size-wise, ever to make it to a final game. And I was like, well, who's the first? Uruguay, by the way, is who they came up with.
Ah.
But just barely. Barely second smallest.
Okay. I'm going to make a note. I'm going to make a... If I kept a journal, I'm going to mark that down.
The reason England lost yesterday is the fault of Mick Jagger. You're familiar with him. He's the lead singer of the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, I believe I've heard of him.
The Mick Jagger curse. Have you heard of this?
I've heard of moves like Jagger, but I haven't heard of the Mick Jagger curse.
The Mick Jagger curse is whenever Mick Jagger roots for your team, they are going to lose. This started back in 1998 when he was in the stands as England took on Argentina. And of course, he was dressed in the, you know, I'm rooting for England. Boom, they ended up losing. He also did it again a couple of years later when he tweeted out, come on, England, on Twitter, and they ended up losing. And he did it twice back to back. Now, it's not just England that he roots for, because he was in the stands 4 years ago with his 19-year-old Brazilian son, and he was rooting for Brazil when they were playing Germany and ended up losing 7-1 versus Germany. Who scores 7 goals in a soccer game? Nobody, unless Mick Jagger is rooting for your team, and then you're getting your ass kicked. It's the Mick Jagger curse.
I don't know if 3 examples proves a scientific study, but I love the thought anyway.
You love it.
He wrongly predicted Brazil and England and USA would all win specific games in the World Cup in 2010. He was cheering for Ghana in 2010 in the crowd, and they ended up losing.
Is he just picking teams at random?
Whoever gives him a jersey.
That's right.
Whoever he's, the person he's dating at the time, maybe, or has a child by.
That's a lot of people, Chelsea.
That's too many countries. There aren't enough countries.
I think you're right. But it's one of those things where you look back and you're like, who's our curse? Who do we not want here, right? When Tony Romo was dating Jessica Simpson, right? Dallas Cowboy fans are like, she's our curse. Whenever she was in the crowd, the game that they were supposed to win, they ended up losing.
But that wasn't because of her. That was because of Tony Romo.
Was it?
He was in all those games, too.
Really?
Let's not overlook that.
No, she was there. And when she wasn't there, he ended up winning the game.
So you're saying Mick Jagger. I'm going to play along, even though this is freaking damn stupid as hell.
Right.
He has to be there in the crowd. He can't just be at home, like, secretly.
No.
It works on Twitter,
freaking
too.
Damn stupid as hell.
Remember, he said he tweeted it out. What I heard is that Mick Jagger is dating Tony Romo. Somebody's walking away with that this morning. I was listening to Woody Wilcox show. Mick Jagger dating Tony Romo. I don't know how that happened.
Can't wait for the baby.
Let's go Cowboys.
Freaking damn stupid as hell.
You guys are right, says the tweet. Croatia has just over 4 million people. By comparison, Germany has 82 million people. So there's a there's an example. Not that Germany's in the World Cup, obviously, but small country, I guess. Oregon has 4 million people? Didn't you say it was the same population as Oregon?
Yes.
Okay.
So,
what does Mick Jagger think about Oregon?
He's not a fan.
Clearly, he's been listening to our show and rooting for it. Because that's probably what we should blame it on, right?
Absolutely.
Damn you, Mick Jagger!
You just don't want Mick Jagger on your side.
Woody and Wilcox. The Woody and Wilcox Show.
There's a lot of hate for social media nowadays, how it ruins your life, but I actually like it. You know, because, you know, living where we live and keeping up with friends in other states is a great way to do it. I avoid the political stuff on there. I bring it up because a buddy of mine who lives in California posted something that I had never heard of before. And if you've had something similar, I'm going to need your help at 844-4WW-SHOW. He was tip-shamed by a restaurant via email. So my buddy goes on to Facebook, and this I read it last night. I don't know the exact day he posted. He transcribed an email he received from a restaurant that he goes to quite a bit. And I'm going to read it for you. And this was from the manager directly to his email. Hey, we've got some amazing specials coming up in the next few months and hope you can join us. Going through a review of your last visit, we noticed gratuity for your bill was slightly lower than the norm suggested. Hopefully your next trip here will be more satisfactory. We look forward to your return. All the best, Anthony. Now, occasionally when you use your card with the cube or the whatever they call it, the square, you can get an email sent directly to you with your receipt.
Sure.
I've had that happen.
Of course.
I think we all have.
Yes.
Never have I ever received a personal email going, hey, we suggested a 20% tip and you didn't give it. Perhaps it was our fault.
Well, secondarily, there's a huge difference between receiving your receipt via email and getting an email from a manager who actually has reviewed your last bill.
Right.
I mean, I get it if you're like a frequent, you know, you apply to an email list or whatever, and then they send out, you know, generic specials and, hey, on this date, we're doing a special event.
Yeah, and that was
but to get, you know, one tailored specifically to you, just that in and of itself, I'm not familiar with. but B, to reference the tip. And I'm sure that would be explained as, well, no, we just noticed that you had tipped more in the past and then you tipped less.
Mm-hmm.
So we assume that maybe our service wasn't up to snuff and we just want to do better. It's not that we're telling you you didn't tip enough, although I can see it being taken both ways, right? Chelsea, you worked in the restaurant business for 48 years.
Did you ever tip shame by email?
Is that, have you heard of anything like that?
No, I'm wondering if it could be some kind of algorithm, like it makes it look like it's personal to you, but you know, a code, if this, then this, and this is the email that goes out.
Wow, that's actually a good idea. Great.
But at the same time, what if you're a person like me who tends to leave cash? So you would hit the 0% on the little square screen or whatever,
right?
And then throw a couple bucks in the tip jar. So now I'm always getting those emails because I'm not tipping.
Well, and yeah, that is fascinating because he's like, I don't know who this Anthony guy is. I don't know the manager there. He frequents the restaurant, but he was taken back by the, oh my God, they know how much I tip every time, and it was off a few percentage points, and somehow it's an unsatisfactory visit.
That's insanity.
But I thought it, based on that email, it's not, hey, you tipped less than you did last time. It's, you tipped less than what we recommend. And usually it says recommended there with the 20%. So if you hit 15, you're going to get that email.
Well, I don't know. He said you left less than the norm, which doesn't necessarily mean what you just said, Chelsea. It may mean his normal. If they actually are keeping track, I can't imagine that they'd be keeping that close a tab.
Actually, I think she's more right because it says the gratuity on your bill was slightly lower than the norm we suggested.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. But he took it as a personal email and was like, how is this guy contacting me? Why am I being tip shamed by the manager of a restaurant? Right. Have you ever been tip shamed? 844-4WW-SHOW.
I have a story. We'll save it because we don't have time here, but something that happened while we were on vacation. It was my fault. However, I feel like it does fall under the heading of tip shaming as well, and it was maybe we both were at fault in this case.
I'd love to hear your tip shaming stories. 844-4WW-SHOW.
Well, and if anybody is familiar with some sort of system that would explain how Woody's buddy got this email,
yeah,
I mean, I'd be interested to hear that side as well.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So a buddy of mine posted online, Facebook yesterday, about how he was tip-shamed by a restaurant. Specifically, he received an email, I guess from the manager. It said Anthony, and signed by the manager, Anthony, saying that his gratuity on his last bill was slightly lower than the norm we suggested. Hopefully your next trip will be more satisfactory. And so we're on the topic of tip shaming. I like Chelsea's idea that this is some sort of robo response where they recommend 20%. And if he put 15, they're like, okay, that flags him and we're going to send him this.
But like Chelsea said, if you pay in cash, then you would always get flagged. Like, you know, you pay with a credit card and then you zero the tip, but you pay him in cash on the tip.
But you could automatically say if it was zero, you assume that it's cash.
True.
You go that way.
Factor that out.
Speaking of tip shaming, Jason on Twitter, and we've got Kim hang on and Ryan hang on. I know you got on hold waiting to tell your story. Jason says, I had a server bring back my tip because I complained to her manager about the bad service. As I was leaving, she came out of the restaurant to give it back to me. I think she got fired on the spot, but I'm not sure. Her choice to bring the tip back, apparently.
There is a time when you are, you know, as a server, you may be in the weeds, you're struggling, you let your emotions get the best of you. Chelsea, back me up on this
yes,
one.
Yes, and he doesn't say what it is. It could have been like two quarters or some pennies, because there are people who do that because they're soulless.
Yeah, that is a fact.
Grab Kim on line three and see what she's got. You can get in at 844-4WW-SHOW. By the way, well, no, that's fine. Go ahead. Kim, are you there?
I'm here.
What's your story?
I was visiting with some family in New York, and we went to like a small mom and pop type, just little diner type thing, and our waitress was horrible. I mean, everything that could go wrong went wrong, and it was all her fault, and we kept trying to bring it to her attention and to correct it, and she never would. So my sister and I was getting ready to pay the bill, and she's like, I'm not going to tip her. She was just horrible. So we didn't tip her, we're leaving the restaurant, and we're standing out in the parking lot. She comes running out, screaming and yelling at us, "Hey, you didn't tip me!" And then she starts cussing, and we're like, we didn't really kind of know how to handle that. We'd never had anybody, like, follow us out to the parking lot demanding their tip.
No, I don't think I have either.
Right.
What did you do?
We just kind of looked at each other, and we're like, I thought this one got it, or we'll discuss it, and we'll bring it back in. We just got in the car and left.
Oh. You went passive-aggressive right there.
Chickened out.
That's probably for the best, not to confront somebody who's chasing you out in the parking lot, Kim.
I mean, you would be so surprised, right? I mean, you're so unexpected, not ready to respond, I don't think. I can understand why you would just sort of be like, you know, because you don't expect that.
Yeah, nobody knew what to say. We were like, oh, I thought you got the tip. Did you get the tip? No, I thought you were getting it. We'll discuss it. Somebody will bring it back in.
We'll discuss
it. We just all got in the car and left.
I'm surprised she didn't just sit at the car and wait.
Right.
At that point, right. Why'd she go back inside?
Yeah, she was like, I'm okay. I'll be back inside. So I was like, yeah, let's get out of here.
Crazy.
I mean, we were in New York, so, I mean, hey.
Right. So she had a gun.
That's Woody at iHeartMedia.
Kim, we appreciate the call. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
844-4WW shows the way that you can get through. Ryan, what's your story, man?
Hey, so probably about 15 years ago, I was a waiter up in Pennsylvania, way before I moved down here to North Carolina. And I worked on Friday and Saturday nights, usually after the drunk crowd was coming in and stuff like that. So I dealt with drunks a lot. And the one night, it was a Friday night, three people came in and they were pretty drunk and gave them service, like respectful and everything like that. And I go out to clean up the table after they leave. And my tip was written on the back of a placemat that says, "Do not drink and drive" in crayon. So I'm like, oh, okay. So it's one of those nights. The next night they came back in.
Oh no.
And they got sat in my section again. So I went out. And I was really nice to him. I was like, oh, hey, you guys are back. You guys were here last night. And you got this, and you got that, and you got this. And they were like, yeah, you were really awesome, and blah, blah, blah. You're really cool. And I was like, yeah, and y'all didn't tip me either. And I went back, and I heard them, like, starting to be like, no, no, no. And I was already on my way back to my manager's office. I was like, yo, you need to take this table because they didn't tip me last night, and I'm not dealing with them tonight.
At least you didn't chase him out into the parking lot, Ryan. I mean, you
could
have done
that. Was at least, yeah, I was a little bit more kind than that, but.
Right. We appreciate the call, man. Thanks.
Take care, guys.
844-4WW shows the way you can get through.
Chelsea, you must have had experiences like that, right? How long were you, I mean, you waited, you were a manager at a restaurant.
Gosh, so I started when I was 16. So a lot of years in a lot of different restaurants. Are you talking about people like leaving you fun facts for a tip or like a Jesus card or a bar of soap?
The
or,
Jesus cards are the best.
I mean, all kinds of stuff.
Well, the good news is Andrew is on the line at 844-4WW show. He works in IT and he's going to give us some of the behind the scenes on how my buddy got this email and why they do it. We'll talk to Andrew and we'll do that next. A phone line open for you at 844-4WW show.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So my buddy was basically tip-shamed by a restaurant that he frequented for a while. An email he received from the manager and was like, hey, your tip last time was a little lower than the suggested norm. Hopefully we can be more satisfactory. And it's got us on the topic of tip-shaming. 844-4WW-SHOW is the way that you can get through.
Well, and we did confirm what Chelsea had wondered was, is it some sort of algorithm that they, you know, the computer watches, and if you tip less than normal, then it sends out an automatic email.
Yeah.
Looks like it's a personal email from the manager, but of course isn't. And then Andrew added on to that on our Facebook page that said they do have a separate algorithm usually in these programs that says that, like Chelsea said, if I pay with a credit card but don't put a tip on the credit card because I want to give them a cash tip, it says if you tip zero on a credit card, it doesn't trigger an email because it assumes you're doing what Chelsea's doing, paying a tip on cash.
Check out the big brain on Chelsea.
Although we've seen a couple of people who that wouldn't have been the case for, who claim that they don't ever tip, just out of whatever.
Those people have a special place in hell. 844-4WW-SHOW. Diego, you got tip-shamed?
Yeah, I did, actually. It was in California as well.
Whoa. What happened?
Yeah. So there's this restaurant that my girlfriend, my wife, wanted to check out. I've never been to it. She's never been to it. We go. We order. Our waitress was being real dry and short. And finally, towards the end, when she brought us our check, I asked her, like, hey, you know, you have a problem with us? What's going on? Because she was just being real rude. She's like, yeah, I remember you. You never gave me a tip the last time you were here with your lady friend. I'm like, what? I was never even here. What are you? That wasn't me. It's like, yeah, you're too busy being all handsy with your lady friend. You didn't give me a tip. That's why I don't deserve this kind of attitude for me. I'm like, I'm not giving you any attitude. Needless to say, my wife believed her. She's like, really? Who was that? And the worst part was because she said the other night that I was supposed to.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Can't
that was an accident. We'll let that's you right. slide yeah, on yeah. that one. You can't say that yeah. word. So yeah, she, so you that. Had to go into work, and she thought you were actually now cheating on her with somebody.
Yeah, so it came down to me having to call my supervisor to prove that I was at work, and needless to say, I still didn't give this lady a tip because, yeah, with her causing a big old fight that I didn't even cause myself.
Wow.
Then we didn't need another tip.
No.
Yeah, then we didn't go to that restaurant again.
Diego, quick question. You said, was this in San Diego? Was it Dick's Last Resort?
No, it wasn't. No.
Because that's a restaurant chain that's sort of known for their...
But they've got those on the East Coast. So I think there's one in Myrtle, isn't there?
Yeah, but they're sort of known for that... short behavior.
That's not being short, though. You're accusing somebody of being right. handsy right. and not leaving a tip, being right. too distracted.
Yeah, that's a completely different story.
I guess you're right.
Diego, you still with your girlfriend or your wife?
Yeah, I still am. Okay. I thought I convinced her that definitely wasn't me.
What about that side action? You still hitting that, too?
No, not since I'm not in California.
She forced you to move. That was that bad.
We appreciate the call, man. Thanks.
All right, have a good one.
844-4
I haven't been to a Dick's Last Resort in a long time, but that was their whole bit, was they would sort of jokingly be rude to you.
Yeah. Right?
But I don't know that they would accuse you of... You didn't give me a tip last time because you were cheating on your wife.
Some people
taking it to a new level, I think, if that's the way you're going.
Right?
A little bit dangerous.
He had to call his supervisor to prove that he was at work. She made him leave the entire state if he wanted to marry her.
I mean, all love to Diego, but if your wife immediately believes the waitress, I feel like maybe something else is going on there. That's just me. I'm not an expert on this. Let's try Zach on line one. Zach?
Hey, how's it going?
What's your story, man?
So, long-time listener, by the way, huge fan. So, me and my fiance go to this Chinese buffet probably at least once a week. And, I mean, it's a buffet. You know, we serve ourselves. The only thing the waitress does is come around and refill our drinks. So I typically do about 10%. And, I mean, the withering look I get from the people across the counter when I pass that check back over is like the coldest part of hell. I mean, they look so angry at me. And one time I noticed this is kind of a trend it's a trend with Asian restaurants. We went to a place about a year ago and my fiance paid. And they actually told her, they said, oh, that's all you're going to tip us. And they got, like, angry with her. And I had to, like, tell them, like, okay, you need to stop. And on our way out, she's like, what happened? I said, I guess they thought you didn't tip them enough. And she goes, I gave them 15%. That's the norm. And it was just this whole thing. And so we never went back to that restaurant, obviously. But that buffet is too cheap and too good to not keep going to. We just ignore the glare.
I think that there is something going on these days where everything, or like you could tip for anything. Where like this, you play with Square and the screen comes up when somebody has just sold you a water and a pre-made muffin.
I was at the airport flying back from vacation. And, you know, those little kiosks, they sell, like, sandwiches, and they've got, like, juice.
Right.
I picked out my own sandwich and juice and went to pay, and then he hands me my receipt back, and it had a tip line on it. Dude, you didn't do anything but take my credit card and swipe it. You want a tip for that?
I feel like pretty soon vending machines will have a tip option for you as well.
Right.
Yeah. Well, obviously, those are just default. I think some of that, right? The program just has a default where every time it charges you, it gives you the option to tip. And I bet there are people who do it. Is the other thing. It's like, well, it doesn't hurt to ask. That sort of mentality.
It does hurt to ask.
I'm looking for free money, man.
Does it hurt to ask? Because you think, well, you're not going to go back. I think it's everywhere.
I'm not going back to the Burbank Airport ever again.
I'm sure that's because you're not welcome.
Right.
That too.
Zach, thank you so much for the call, man.
Yeah, no problem. Have a great one, guys.
We appreciate it. 844-4WW-SHOW is the way that you can get through. We'll take your calls and maybe eventually get to my story next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So you've been tip shamed. My buddy actually posted part of an email that he got from a restaurant that he claims he's never going to go to again after they said, hey, your last tip was lower than the suggested norm. Maybe we can be more satisfactory next time.
And we had a chat with somebody earlier who is a tech guy who says he knows about these programs that these restaurants, you know, buy into from a third party.
Yep.
That sends out these quote unquote personal emails that aren't really personal. They're not trying to tip shame you. They think they're doing a good thing,
but they're not.
They're looking at your tip and then going, well, you didn't tip as much, so there must have been something wrong. How can we improve? But they're saying it in a way that makes you think, well, you're saying I didn't tip enough? You know, and it just, I think they're doing themselves a double whammy.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why they don't understand that.
844-4WW-SHOW. Sometimes it's a more direct approach. I think Sandy had the more direct approach. Sandy, you're on with Woody and Wilcox. What's your story, man?
So, this was about 5 to 6 years ago when we were in our grad school and international students. So, we were not really like high tippers.
Mm-hmm.
And, we didn't have the money. And, we were at New York at a Chinese restaurant. And, these are about a group of like 7 to 8 people. So we understand that there was a minimum 18% tipping. And, when we were about to leave after we tipped, the manager came out and he actually got a calculator with him and he showed us the difference between like an 18% and 20%. And he said, people usually tip 20%. So yeah. And he just waited and he didn't let us leave until we paid him the change.
Wait, like he would not let you leave until you made up that 2%?
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't like pull us back in, but he would put us in like an awkward spot and it was kind of like a nice place. So we just had to give him the change.
Wow. I've never heard of that.
No, I detect a slight accent, which I think is Minnesota, Sandy.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
I'm from India.
In your country, is tipping normal? Because I know in certain countries like that, the first time I went to Ireland, I left a tip and the guy's looking at me like, that's yours. You take that. Like, it's not very common to tip like that.
No, we just leave the change, like literally the change. There's no 10% concept, like 10 or 20% concept in India. So we were already low on cash and we were like, we stuck to the minimum 18. But I don't know if it's the New York thing, but yeah, he wouldn't let us leave.
That's amazing. I've never heard of that before until I looked at Twitter at Woody and Wilcox. Noah tweeting, I was in San Francisco last year with my family, and a restaurant stopped us from leaving because we didn't tip enough.
I mean, you can't do that.
I don't think you're allowed
illegal.
To do that. Right. I believe that's like false imprisonment.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, as much as it is obviously the social norm and obviously appreciated, it is not illegal not to leave a tip by any stretch.
Well, some managers apparently don't think so.
Try Becky on line 4. 844-4WW-SHOW, the way that you can get through. I don't know if this is anonymous, Becky. Is that what this is?
Yeah, I think so. Somebody who wishes to remain anonymous, so we'll call them Becky. Becky, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing? What's your story?
Well, I've only been a server for a couple of years, although I've done like coffee shop work and stuff like that where you do receive tips, but you get a decent hourly wage. I think a lot of people don't realize that we make $2.13 an hour. I did bookkeeping back in 95, and that was the federal minimum wage then. So we're looking at 23 years later, and we still don't make anything more. And one time I had someone come in, and they ran me ragged. There was no issues with me serving them. And when the bill came, it was like 63 and some change. And they handed it back to me and with like $3 and some change. And said, that's for you. And I had just had it. And I said, well, if this is your idea of a tip, then you need this more than me. And I just pushed it back towards them. People are like, well, what if that's all the money they have? Well, find another restaurant.
That's the bitterness.
Well, we still have to tip out hosts, bar, the bus people. So if you don't tip, we literally donating our time. And it's costing us money.
Yeah, a lot of people don't think about that. And it's not in every restaurant, but a lot. So a lot of times for me to wait on you, I'm going to end up paying out of my own pocket because you
leave
nothing.
That's exactly right.
So, you drank all of this liquor. Now I'm paying the bartender for making that.
That's right.
And now I'm down money.
Somebody,
yeah,
that's
horrible. And then you hear people say, well, get a different job. Well, we all like to be pampered. So if we all found a different job, there would be no one left to serve you when you want a night of relaxation and pampering.
Honestly, Chelsea's been a server. I've been a server and a bartender. It is a good job when people do tip.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting rich by any means, but it's a decent living. And that's what people who don't tip don't understand. I'm a firm believer that in certain countries you have to do 2 years of military service or 3 years. In this country, you need to do some sort of hospitality service. And if we institute mandatory hospitality service, our attitudes toward one another will change greatly.
Absolutely.
And it's the poor customers, not poor in money, but like the ones that don't behave very well, that are going to stick out to you. And those are the ones you remember. They rub you the wrong way. I feel like generally all evens out. You'll have great customers who do, who overtip, but it's the bad ones. You know, the guy standing up in the middle of the restaurant saying, where's my drink, you effing, see you next Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's the guy you're going to remember,
mm-hmm.
and that's what wears you down over time. It's just bad people, just like bad radio.
Wait a second. Hang on, why were you looking at us when you said that? Becky, we appreciate the story. Thanks for the insight.
Thank you.
844-4WW-SHOW. Are you ever going to tell your story about being tip-shamed, Wilcox?
Yeah, we'll do. How about we do that next?
Okay.
Okay.
That'd be worth it.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Tip-shaming. It's happened to a ton of people, apparently, and thank you to everybody who's a server who's calling in with their stories about chasing customers out into the parking lot. Sort of the reverse of tip shaming, where you were the tip shamer.
Well, but the way you started this whole thing, when he was with your buddy getting tip shamed via email, which was a new one. I mean, we've talked on the show over the years about tip issues, whether somebody tipped you something funny, they didn't tip you at all, and then what happened, and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd never heard of someone getting an email later that said, hey, notice that you were below norm on this one, that sort of thing. And you're like, what? On vacation, one of the things that we did was go to Disneyland. And
bragger.
Yeah, that's right. I'm bragging.
Hmm.
And we stayed at Disneyland, not World. So we were in California and stayed at the Disneyland Hotel. By the way, those of you that haven't been to both,
mm-hmm.
it's so interesting the differences between Disney World and Disneyland.
Disneyland in California, much smaller.
Much smaller in multiple ways. And in some ways, that's good. And then in maybe other ways, it's not so good. This has nothing to do with tips, but we were blown away by, and this is maybe something you wouldn't know, how small the castle is in California. If you've ever been to Disney World, you know that the castle on Main Street is massive.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it for miles. In California, you can be on Main Street and not even see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's that small for some reason.
Miniature.
We were blown away by that.
Not
sidebar.
Compensating like Florida is.
I don't know that that has anything to do with it.
You know what they say about guys with big castles.
I don't. So we were in this situation where we got there really early and we were staying in the Disneyland Hotel, but our room wouldn't be ready yet. So we drive up to the area where maybe if you're going to valet, you would, I'm not a big baller, so we don't valet. I'm self-parking, man. Get your hands off my car.
Right.
But
we wanted to have them hold our luggage until our room was ready, and we were going to go out and roam around. So, you know, we pull in, and Denise goes in and like starts to handle, you know, future reservation stuff at the in the lobby, and I'm left out at the car. And the dude comes over and he brings one of those carts, the luggage carts, and he starts pulling all the luggage out, which was cool. He was doing a good job. And then it occurred to me, I wasn't prepared for the fact that I was going to have to tip somebody.
Mm.
And so, you know, we had, you know, there's four of us and we had a lot of stuff. And then we had like a lot of stragglers, little bags that had sweaters and things in them. And, you know, so he's having to arrange them all on the cart. It's not just like four suitcases that you just slap on the cart. So he does it all. And then it hits me and I'm like, oh, and then he, you know, and he gives me the, so will there be anything else? You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, okay, I see what you're right. doing.
Did
here.
He have his hand out as well? Right. Like no, the but flat
he,
palm?
He, it's obvious.
He metaphorically or whatever, you know, had his hand out. And I was like, no, we're good. And he, you know, and he sort of shuffles. And then he's like, so I'll take these back for you. And you don't need anything else. You know, that.
Right.
And I should have just said. And so the thing was, I didn't have any cash on me. I didn't have my wallet. Because I didn't anticipate this thing happening. And I should have just said, oh, dude, I'm sorry. I appreciate the effort. I don't have my wallet on me. You know, maybe I'll go and get some and I'll bring it back down. I should have said something, mm-hmm. but I just wasn't in that mode. And so I didn't. I thanked him and he walked away and visibly was shaking his head like emphatically. And I knew, I was like, he thinks I'm that guy. And he was,
because you were that guy.
I was that guy. And he was pissed, but he didn't say anything to me, but I could tell he was furious. And I'm like, he's probably going to go back there and like throw everything around and flush our bags down the toilet or whatever. So I go back in and because of course my wife has my stuff and I'm like, I got some money and I went back out and I found him. And then I said, hey, man, you help. This was maybe 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes later. And I'm like, you helped me earlier. I didn't have any money on me. And he looked at me like it was the weirdest look, like maybe no one had ever done that before.
Found him again?
I don't know.
Without saying something, probably doesn't happen too often. Most people be like, hey, you know, I've got to go grab my wallet.
And I wish I had said, because then I thought, like, he's got that look on his face, like, oh, I guess I shouldn't have thrown it out onto the interstate.
Well, that's what,
you know, and I'm like, I ran the risk of him, like, kicking it when he got back there. But everything was fine.
What you saw on his face was guilt for rubbing his taint all over your handles of your luggage.
Oh, Lord, I didn't see that coming.
Like he had to full drop trowel on every handle. He's like, this could be the one.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, now the guy gave me $5.
He was just shocked. I mean, you do have a certain look about you. So, like, people probably expect you.
Certain
you
look. Do.
Chelsea.
I'm like, just saying, some people have RBF, and Wilcox has his face. He's actually a lot nicer than he looks.
Why so he do you always say that I look like I'm not nice?
Dude, I've had people come up to me and they're like, what's wrong with Wilcox? I'm like, that's just his face.
It doesn't look like you're not nice. It just looks like you're pretentious.
That's better. Thank you.
But I'm saying that you're not. You can't judge a book by its cover.
Yes, you
and
can.
You pleasantly surprised this guy and he felt embarrassed for his own jumping to conclusions. But also, you always got to have cash on you.
That and he tainted your bags. He did something to it.
I guess he ran back maybe and had to wipe them off. It's like, oh, he gave me some money. I better go back and clean these up. He didn't ask me like for a wet wipe or anything, so I guess he had his own. Mm-hmm. We've got a round of It Happened in Florida. I'll try to get through it with my pretentious face. You'll be able to get in at 844-4WW-SHOW, and we'll dig in coming up next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
With a round of It Happened in Florida, which we've got right here, Woody and I are going to share three stories real quick, and they're all true. But they could have happened anywhere, all over the globe, and you just had to spot the one that actually happened in the state of Florida because Florida, right? It's so consistently cranking out the crazy story. So spot the Florida story to win at 844-4WW-SHOW. Woody has story number one.
Story number one, I want you guys to fill in the blank. A man came home, went into the bedroom, and saw something that no man should ever see. What do you think he saw?
His mother with a strange man.
Is Mother with a Strange Man is a fantastic guess, Chelsea. No? Wilcox, do you have a guess for us?
How about...
Front button, back butt.
Front button, back butt. Nope.
Not trasero de enfrente, trasero de atrás.
That's front button, back butt in Spanish. No.
Wang.
He found a snake eating his wife's lingerie.
Is that a euphemism for something? Or what are we talking about?
She was not in it at the time. Chelsea, go ahead and take a look at my computer screen right here.
I don't want to look at it. No.
A 35-year-old man said he arrived at the house and saw that a snake was in his bedroom. He pulled on the snake's tail and discovered that the reptile had swallowed a large section of his wife's pink silk nightie.
Wee-wee area.
Quote, I think the snake felt a bit sick. It's not the normal food they eat.
Cooter.
It would have been very difficult for him to digest this. He could have had problems if we didn't pull the nightie out.
Heard that a time or two.
Right?
That's a cooch.
He said he safely released the snake outside of his home, Chelsea. He did not destroy the snake. Was it in Florida?
So his first thought, by the way, this has nothing to do with the story, really, but the first thing you said he did was, quote, pull the snake's tail.
That's right.
Which I didn't even think is a thing, right? You're just pulling the snake. Does the snake have a tail?
The snake has a tail.
I feel like that's not accurate. The whole snake is a tail.
That's not the case.
You're pulling the snake, if I may use that expression.
Would you say you got bitten by the snake's tail? No. So there is a front of the snake and the tail end of the snake.
Not buying it.
The food goes in the front and comes out the tail.
I understand how a snake works. I'm just saying they don't really have a tail. You pulled on the back end of a snake. You didn't pull a snake's tail. Tomato, tomato to some of you, but you're wrong. Sorry, that's my pretentious face coming through. 844-4WW show. Story number two, I want you to fill in this blank then, and you tell me if this happened in Florida. Couple of guys hop on a train.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't mean, you know, they buy a ticket and they go to the station. I mean, you know.
Hobos.
I don't know that they're hobos.
Just a fun word.
Great use of the word hobos.
It is fantastic. I mean, hobo, I imagine a red handkerchief on the end of a stick. I don't know that they had that.
Cigar and a toothpick.
Right. I can't say that they were hobos, but they did not buy a ticket and they snuck up on the train, you know, and hopped on it, maybe on its tail. And
the caboose.
What happened?
They fell off.
Why do we know about this?
They injured themselves.
Because this probably happens every day all over the country.
They hurt themselves somehow, and now there's a lawsuit.
They did not hurt themselves, and there is no lawsuit.
They were making loud woo-woo sounds.
Woo-woo!
And got busted.
Step into my office.
Step into my office.
Why?
Because you're f***ing fired.
You think we would have heard about it because they were making loud woo-woo sounds? No.
Everyone in this room is now dumber.
You'd keep your mouth shut if you knew it was good for you.
About the
you'd
med?
Keep your mouth shut if you knew it was good for you, buddy.
She took the good making answer the with they injured themselves.
They locked themselves in the bathroom somehow, or the bathroom was out of toilet paper, and they had to tweet about it because we have heard that.
I regret to inform you I can no longer take guesses.
Nuisance birds.
They're getting worse.
They got stuck in their jacket.
Your guesses have triggered the I can no longer accept guesses meter.
That's the worst one ever.
You're not going to guess it anyway. They called 911 on themselves. So they hop on a train, these two guys, and then all of a sudden they go, ooh, this train is moving fast. And they were afraid, Chelsea, that they were going to injure themselves. They did not injure themselves, but they became scared after hopping on the train and realizing it was moving quickly, like trains often do.
They thought it was off the rails?
Nope.
Are you sure?
They really only wanted to ride it for a short distance and then couldn't get off, pardon the expression, because it was going so quickly.
Well, they wanted to slow down so they could jump or it missed the stop they wanted to be at.
That's why they called 911, is because they needed to get off the train.
Well, can't you tell 911 that without disclosing the fact that you didn't buy a ticket?
No.
Oh.
I believe it's a freight train. Did it happen in Florida that guys were confused about how a train works before they hopped on it and went woo-woo? 844-4WW-SHOW. Woody's got the third and final.
Third and final story has to do with the TSA actually doing something good. You know how much it hurts me to actually say that? Chelsea, you're going to praise the TSA after they caught something inside a man's computer that should not be on the plane.
His wife's lingerie.
You're closer than you think.
The snake's tail.
They found a snake hidden inside the hard drive of his computer that he was trying to take on a plane.
Is it smuggled or sneaky?
Smuggled. It was inside a bag inside the hard drive of his computer.
You can't see that when it goes through the x-ray machine?
That's what the TSA did see it, and they stopped it, so there were no snakes on a plane.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane!
Right? Just an excuse for me to play that TV edit? Probably. The snake didn't get on the plane thanks to our officer's diligent screening, said the TSA spokesperson. Was it in Florida where he was trying to smuggle a snake on a plane by hiding?
Are you packing baloney or what?
Nah, he wasn't packing baloney. He was trying to smuggle a snake on a plane. My computer just took a huge blue screen of death. Who do I pick up over here?
I don't have one either, but try Nathan on line one.
Nathan, all three stories actually happened. Which one went down in Florida?
I'm going to go snakes on a plane, story number three.
There it is. Yeah, Miami International Airport is where the dude was trying to get to Barbados and was smuggling a snake inside his hard drive. Good news is they were able to grab that snake and I'm sure release it successfully into Florida.
Isn't there an old joke about Barbados and a guy and his snake? Have you ever heard that one?
Eddie Murphy?
Share that with you later.
Okay, thanks.
Not in Florida, but in Ohio is where the two guys hopped on a train and then called 911 because it was going too fast. And I do have audio, by the way. We'll share that, I think, coming up here in a second.
And in Thailand, Chelsea, is where you got to make sure that before you put on your lingerie, that there's not a snake eating it. And the worst thing you can come home to is a snake eating your wife's lingerie.
First thing you do is pull his tail.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
We had a story there on It Happened in Florida about two guys who apparently decided to hop a free ride on a train. And it happened in Ohio. It didn't happen in Florida. The reason why we knew about it, contrary to Woody and Chelsea's guesses, were that they ended up calling 911 on themselves, basically. Because as at least it was described, the train was going too fast. There is a partial on the 911 call, and I'll play that for you here.
I'm on a train.
You're on a train.
Yeah, and it's going really fast, and I don't know where it's going.
What are you doing on the train?
Well, I really don't know. Better than
he says at the end, it's better than walking, and then it scared the blank out of us. And they don't know where it's going. Then, cops obviously show up. They do get arrested. And in the back of the squad car, one of the dudes, by the way, this is a 20-year-old guy and a 24-year-old guy, one of them shares this information.
This thing was flying, man, for real. I'm not even going to lie about it. I don't know where I'm at, and I should have never got on the train, and I know it was a stupid idea, and I never will again. I can tell you that right now.
Both of them indicate that they're incredibly confused about where they are. Now, here's a little-known fact, I guess, about trains. They can't go anywhere the track doesn't go. So it's not like they just took a turn and went off into the woods. And
have you ever taken a train somewhere?
I have taken a train somewhere, yeah.
You know that the tracks can split off and go various directions.
That's correct. They can do that. That's
when
right.
When you're jumping on a train that's a freight train and you haven't paid for it, I don't think it's like riding the subway where there's a map on the inside.
But there's not really road signs either that says we're passing,
they're not making announcements.
Interstate 40.
I'm sorry, so you're both on the side of the guys who called 911 on themselves because they hopped on a train.
I had a buddy out of college who loved trains.
I like trains, by the way.
And hopped on just like those guys.
I'm not anti-train.
He had no idea. He ended up in Salt Lake City.
Okay.
Like, he had a backpack, like a camping backpack, and brought food and clothes and stuff like that, because he's like, always wanted to do this. Hopped on a train and then ended up. And so he didn't know where he was either when he got off.
He's like, was that part of the fun? He was like, it's kind of like when somebody blindfolds you and says, I'm taking you on a surprise trip, and you get on a plane and then you get off somewhere. That's fun. And that's what your buddy did?
Basically.
He's excited to be in Salt Lake?
I don't think he was excited. Nobody's excited to be in Salt Lake.
I guess I just figure if you're going to hop on a train, you do know where it generally is going, especially because you hopped on it. You know the direction it's headed. And
you just,
because I feel like claiming that it's in the middle of nowhere is too obvious.
Just because
the fact that you're defending him is troubling me.
Not defending them. It's understandable. If you hop on a train, you don't know where it's going. You don't know where you are geographically. Not everybody can place.
If you're going to be a hobo, you ought to do a little legwork. Get a map.
Yeah, but just because you have a map, it doesn't tell you where you are. And just because you
train tracks do are on the map. I can't believe we're having this discussion.
Possibly, but as it switches tracks, you don't know which track it
went to. Get a compass.
Not everybody studied map making in college you did.
Get a compass. Well, we went 60 minutes east.
Exactly. Right. I bet your boy had a compass and a map.
This isn't the Boy Scouts. They just got on a train. You think they were thinking things
unacceptable.
Through?
By the way, here's the cops.
Apparently, the train picked up speed and made it unsafe for the man to dismount from the train. The trains are very dangerous, large machines, very unsafe to be around railroad tracks, much less actually getting onto a moving train.
I think the bigger issue is that they were afraid of the speed. So never mind did they know where they were going. We can argue that, and will, by the way, off air.
Well, also, thanks for the tip that trains go fast. This whole thing sounds like a Christopher Guest movie.
That's what I mean. Thank you, Chelsea. Thank you for not making it seem like it makes sense. So keep that in mind. I feel those are all good tips. And if you right now were headed over onto the gravel and getting ready to hop onto a train, so many things that you didn't realize could happen. A, they go fast.
Right.
And B, apparently they go where you don't expect them to go. They bob and they weave and they're all up and down and they're all over the place.
You couldn't be more wrong.
I couldn't be more wrong.
I'm going to put you on a train right now.
You're familiar with a track, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I grew up next to a train switching yard. Yeah, I'm right. Familiar.
So they don't leave it.
Yeah, but there are multiple tracks that go in multiple different directions. Right. And then, I don't know if you know this, after that, they sometimes turn.
Let's save this for a blog somewhere. I know people will be riveted.
I feel like a baby that's learned my lesson.
A baby that learned his lesson.
Stop this train. I want to get off.
So keep that in mind. And also, this is important too. If you get hot, drink something and find a cool spot.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
I know you talked about it a little earlier, Wilcox, but there's a woman named Stormy Daniels.
Mm.
And she is an adult film actress,
mm-hmm.
and has been involved with the President of the United States.
Right. I think we're all vaguely familiar with who she is.
But you talked about her because she was arrested.
Yes, I did see that she got arrested.
Like yesterday in Ohio, right? Because she tours the great land of the United States.
Uh-huh.
Visiting strip clubs now.
Is that what she's doing?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what a lot of adult film stars, for lack of a better word, do, is travel from club to club and get paid to make special appearances, that sort of thing.
Did you tell us why she was arrested?
I sort of was a little bit fuzzy on that. I think it was something to do with, I thought she allowed someone to touch her during her act, I think is what I saw. It didn't quite make sense to me, to be honest.
Because that doesn't make sense.
But wasn't that it? What did you see?
Well, because I saw something that sort of took me by surprise. This was back in the private area. If you've ever been to an establishment where people take off their clothes for money, there's quite often a VIP room or a shower room. The champagne room, right.
So you've heard.
And there was a plainclothes officer who was receiving a lap dance from Stormy Daniels and requesting certain acts.
Mm.
The words golden shower are reported in this story multiple times.
Ooh.
And that he was aggressively asking for other things.
So again, why is she arrested?
Well, because she refused to do them.
No, but she did something, supposedly.
The employee who was working there serving drinks overheard the interaction that was going on between this officer and Stormy Daniels, asking for unprotected relations, stuff like that. But then she began to smack him about the head with her chestial area. And that's when he left, went and got some cops outside and came in and said, let's arrest her.
Right. They're claiming, and her lawyer's claiming, it was a setup. She was, but what I said is right. She was arrested for allegedly allowing a customer to touch her on stage in a non-sexual manner. That's what her lawyer said. That was what they arrested her for.
That means, so she's on stage and somebody shakes her hand? That's what I'm getting out of this. And now she's being arrested?
I don't know.
You allow somebody to touch you, and the word allow, like, what are you supposed to do, retaliate? In a non-sexual manner.
Well, remember, there's two sides to all of these things. And if it is somehow, you know, like everything I feel like now, every single thing everybody takes sides on, and there's some sort of politic thing at work. So if it is that, then who knows? It's a he said, she said thing, unless there's video, which there probably is.
Right, I was going to say.
I have no idea. She's certainly gotten the 15 minutes plus.
Right.
The officers observed her fondling the breasts of female patrons, according to the Franklin County Municipal Court records.
Well, then wouldn't one of those patrons have to file a complaint or,
nope.
A
officers
lawsuit?
Witnessed those activities, and the three detectives approached her on stage.
Secondarily, is this a good use of resources?
Yes, we cannot have strippers fondling other strippers' bodies on stage at a club. It's anarchy.
How many cops did it take to apprehend what?
Well, but, you know, and so, who knows what's happening here? They're claiming this is a setup, that maybe it's somehow politically motivated. It also could just be periodically in these clubs, they set up stings.
Yeah.
And those arrests seem silly, too. And who knows? Maybe it's just the cops like, you know what? We better go back to that strip club again and make sure, just positive, that nothing's going. I mean, who knows what's happening?
But if they're going to do some kind of undercover sting, aren't you looking for somebody actually taking money for sex or selling drugs?
They're looking for anything that's theoretically illegal. I mean, what else would you conclude? I have no idea. I mean, obviously, that's what they did here, if what we're reading is accurate.
We're going to sit outside the club and catch people jaywalking.
Yes. I mean, that stuff happens all the time.
Oh, but misdirected energy. Come on, people.
Yeah, probably so.
Law's a law, Chelsea. Got to enforce all of the laws.
You know, and she's saying, I'm getting arrested for something I do every night all over the country in clubs, you know, left and right.
Fondling strippers' chestial
areas? Well, I think that's separate. That's probably separate from a non-sexual contact while she's on stage. Like so many things on this show, we have only part of the information and nothing makes sense.
This one may not be our fault, though, because this is one of those things that just came down and, you know, within the last 12 hours or so. And my guess is every news organization is clamoring to tell the story. And then they'll, you know, 24 hours later, they'll find out, oh, that's not really what happened. Isn't that the way it works these days? This one may not be our fault. And again, it's a, you know, anybody can say anything, I feel like, is the answer to all of that. Who knows what really happened? Probably never know. Probably never know between her and Trump. Who knows?
The only way to know is to go to a strip club and get a private dance. Am I right?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, I'm going to try and do that.
I feel like we did learn a couple of things on the show today, but none of it in the last 20 minutes. So that's good. We can fill you in on the other stuff that actually did make sense coming up next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show. The Woody and Wilcox Show.
All right. I got equipment breaking over here.
You got stuff shooting off. I saw plastic flying up there.
Let's figure out what we learned today on the show.
Nothing.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. First of all, and probably most importantly, we learned that Chelsea's mom used to have a crush on Papa John.
Maybe still does.
Even though he's racist?
Yeah, not that part.
Yeah, that came up when we found out that Papa John is stepping down from his CEO job over some comments that he apparently made on a conference call that were racist or something. I was fascinated by the Forbes magazine people who put out a list of the richest self-made women. Partly fascinated because they consider Kylie Jenner a self-made woman. Now, I mean, in my mind, that term sort of indicates that you came from nothing, you know, and you built up everything yourself. I feel like she's part of a bigger family, right? That has money and so forth. Kim Kardashian and all them. By the way, $900 million is what Kylie Jenner is worth.
I'm sure she would have done it all by herself. She's just that brilliant of a business mind.
They're saying she could become the first, quote, self-made billionaire in history who is under the age of 23, which is what Mark Zuckerberg was. Facebook creator Mark Zuckerberg. She's 21, by the way, this year.
Not even self-made.
Oprah, by the way, $3.1 billion. Sixth on the list. It's fascinating. I was going to tweet that out, and I guess I didn't tweet that out yet. I'll do that. What else did we learn on the show today? Well, I found out that today's a special day for those of you that are like Cool Beans and can't get enough of Build-A-Bear. I thought it was Pay Your Weight Day, but it's apparently Pay Your Age Day at Build-A-Bear. So, like, if you're 5, I guess you can Build-A-Bear for $5. Or if you're Cool Beans, it's like 40-something.
Certain restrictions apply.
I can approve that.
We played around at Craigslist Prices Right today. Found out that somebody was selling a gently used casket. There had never been a dead person in it. They just used to sleep in it. So that seems fine.
Normal.
We found out that there's such a thing as a curse of Mick Jagger. Every soccer team that he pulls for loses. It was tough to take because after Woody sharing the scientific information with us yesterday that there's a woman somewhere in Great Britain who predicts England's soccer games with her breasts. Yesterday, she was wrong for the first time ever, apparently, as Croatia beat England. We heard about some odd tip-shaming methods. Woody had a buddy who got, quote-unquote, tip-shamed by an email that said, hey, we noticed that the last time you were in, you didn't tip as high as you usually do. Led to an interesting discussion that ended in Chelsea saying that I have a douchey face.
Pretentious face.
I said douchey.
But there was a lot of confusion about whether a train does or doesn't stay on the track when it moves. So you can join the podcast for that. Find that I was correct.
We have any train engineers here listening to the show. Wilcox at iHeartMedia.
We also found out that today is a big day, not only because it's Richard Simmons' 70th birthday, which obviously is huge, but it's also Cool Beans' handyversary. It's 4 years ago today that she touched the hand of Justin Timberlake, also known as the handyversary. So maybe go ahead and call out of work today. Tomorrow on the show, among other things, we'll have a fresh batch of Fun with Golf audio, the stuff that sounds dirty out of context from the broadcast of golf tournaments. Intern Dave, is there anything you wanted to add before we hang it up for today?
Another great show, guys.
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
Everyone in this room is now dumber.
Not for a second have I even dwelled on the fact that the show's over. I don't...
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I don't think about it. I try not to think about it, and therefore I, you know, don't...
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Because it's a very healthy way to deal with something that is very ultimately not that important in the long run. It's not... Not important at all.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.